So we'll continue what we spoke last week. So we spoke last week that Ezra HaKohen, in the Bai Sheni, he starts the process. In Chazal, we saw that this is the beginning or the flourishing of Torah Shebal Peh. Now the question is, what was Torah Shebal Peh in its original form? We know that there are two ways of having Torah Shebal Peh. We could have something called the Mishnah, which are the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, as it tells you in traditions, halachas, and etc. And you have something called the Midrash. The Midrash is that exegesis, interpretation of the Chumash, and extracting new ideas and new laws from it. So we saw Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac HaLevi, that he says, originally there was a Mishnah. It's called, and in our Mishnah we have traces of the original Mishnah, which is called the Soid HaMishnah, the Mishnah of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And all the Midrash, which today we know that we're talking about Midrash Halacha. Midrash Halacha is the Midrash that we have that Halacha is taken, where it starts the Mechilta from Parshas Boy, and you have the Midrash Halacha in Vayikra, which is called Sifro, and you have in Bamidbar and Vermish called the Sifrei. Right, you have the three Midrash Halachas that we darshan the Psukim to come up with Halachas Torah Shebal Peh. The question is, what came first and what is the driver? Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac HaLevi, responding to the Reform, responding to the Haskalah, was of the view that there was always a tradition. Halacha L'Moshe Misina was a tradition, the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Torah Shebal Peh, the Halachas, and Chazal, in the time of Ezra, used the Medrash to find a source, an allusion in the Psukim for those halachas, a type of asmachta. So every drash is based and predicated upon a tradition, and the midrash only comes to uncover those traditions in the Chumash. As we saw, Reb Shira Goyen says the opposite. The Mishnah is a later product. The Ikar Vort, what they learned in Bai Sheni, was Medrash. They learned Torah Shebal Peh as a way to interpret the Chumash and to come up with halachas in the Chumash. And we saw Shitas HaRambam. Shitas HaRambam means that Torah Shebal Peh is divided into five components. The first one is the Tafsir, which is the interpretation of Torah Shebichzav. And that's a tradition. The Pasuk says, Kapois Tmorim. What's Kapois Tmorim? The tradition is, it's a lulav. Pre-Etz Hodor. Chazal learned, it's the Esrig. How do you know that that's the Esrig? It's a tradition. That, the Rambam writes, is the Tafsir. Is the tradition that was given in Sinai, how to read the Psukim. The second one is Alocha L'Moshe Misinai. Those are traditions from Sinai that we have to do things in a certain way. Tefillin has to be black, has to be square. All of these are halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Those are traditions of Sinai. These first two components, there's no creativity. There's only keeping the tradition in place. Says the Rambam, on this, technically should be no machlokes. It's a tradition. Then there's a third component, says the Rambam, which is the vast majority of Torah Shebal Peh, without the droshas that Chazal learned, and those droshas are called creative droshas. By darshaning, by interpreting the Psukim, they came up with new halachas. Those halachas are called in the Rambam Divrei Soifrim. They are Divrei Soifrim. And the Divrei Soifrim means that it's created in the Rabbanan, but it has a validity of the Raisa. But it's created new. Kinyan Kesev B'Kiddushin is something new. And that's what the Rambam says. If you look at your source handout on page 4, like is the second page on the verse. Sefer Mitzvos LaRambam. Shein Roy Limd V'Shelem Di B'Echad B'Shlosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshet Bahem Ribuy. If you learn from the Yud Gimel Midos, it's not included in the number of the mitzvot. That's what he says. We have already said in the beginning of the Pirusha Mishnah, the vast majority of Dinei HaTorah, they came out through the drushes. And therefore, since it was a halacha that was taken away, was brought about by exegesis, there is machloikes. V'sheyesh dinim im pirush mikubalim imoish ein machloikes bayem. There is one things. There are things which are traditions misinai. There is no machloikes. Creative ideas. There is machloikes. Aval mivim raya le be'achim shoshemitu ki bichoch mazakot shev shli ba'otze berabes. There are traditions that Chazal used the psukim just to validate. On that, there is no machloikes. Like Prietz Hadar. Prietz Hadar is what? Is an asterisk. Chazal say, how do you know that from the Pasuk? Hadar means is a fruit that stays from year to year. Prietz, tamayetz, ketamapri, the fruit and the tree have the same. Those are droshes. But the droshes don't create the aloha. You know that that's an asterisk. You know how you know that's an asterisk? Because it's a tradition. But there are, the vast majority are droshes. And those droshes are creative, are new, and there's machlokes. If it's a tradition, if it's a tradition, Misinai, and the drosh is just to validate or to find the source, then is aloha le Moshe Misinai, and there's no machloikes. So not everything is the Rabbonan. But the vast majority of Shloshes Remidos Shatoran Nidreshes is called the Rabbonan. Kipem Yepirush Mekuba, Lefichah Roi Bezeh, Shekol Mashalot Timtzeu Katuv Bafuret Timtza Betam Shlom Echad Shloshes Remidos. So therefore, says the Rambam, any place where the Gemara learns something from Yud Gimel Midos Shatoran Nidreshes by him, you do a drosha, you do an interpretation, you do exegesis on the Pasuk, Im Biyoruhem Be'asam Ushezeh Guf Toira, if they tell you, this is a tradition, or she said the raisa, the Rabbanu Yisrael. Then you count as a mitzvah. Achash mekablim omru, shud the raisa. Vim lo yivaru zeh. But if it's Yud Gimel Midas and they don't tell you that that's tradition, v'lo dibru hi de'u derabonan, shim kos v'ir alav. Then it's not derabonan. So the Rambam says, there are droshes that create halachas, and there are droshes that validate halachas. The droshes that create halachas, which is the vast majority, they are derabonan. Their chiyuv, their obligation is the raisa, but the source, who are the authors, is the Rabbanan. This is the drosha through the midrash. This is the Rambam Shita. The Ramban, as you see, argues with this. And the Ramban says that the interpretations are the raisa. Why? Because there is such a thing called omnisignificance. The pasuk is extra. If there is an extra word, there is embedded a drosha. Chazal only uncovered, they only brought up the drosha. They didn't create the drosha, they just brought it to realization. They're almost like partners in the creation. So the machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban, all the exegesis, the midrash, the interpretation of the Chumash, that you come up with the halachas, the Rambam says, unless it's a tradition, it's the Rabbanan, it's a creation of Chazal, the Torah gave them authority, and the validity is the Raisa. It's an extension of a mitzvah. He's like a king, like Plato. You give the king, there is the philosopher king. He goes and he gives to his people, to his judges, or to his interpreters, the ability to create and generate law. This is Shita Saram. The Ramban says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the psukim. The psukim have extra words, have inconsistencies. To tell you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the tools to uncover the meaning, and you are uncovering a secret meaning, but the secret meaning is there. So this is called the Midrash. So according to the Rebbe Shria Goin, Ezra created the limud and the approach to be able to go ahead and to relate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to extend Matan Torah, is through the drashas. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Till now, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, and any quote-unquote updates were given by prophets. There was prophecy. Now prophecy is being closed. How are you going to find meaning? How are you going to go ahead and allow the Torah to quote-unquote evolve? This is through the drushes. That's why he goes and he establishes drushes. And Droshes is a school, and says Rav Shira Goin, this is the limud of Ezra in Anshe Knesset Agdela. You see that the Mishnah is something much later. So you have two approaches. Rav Yitzchok Isaac Halevi says there are traditions, and the Medrash is only to create a source for it, like Asmachta. Rav Shira Goin says no. The limud is done through Medrash. That is the Chidush of Ezra. Ezra is the one that says that the Torah is here. How do you update? How do you continue revelation? Is by mining meaning through the tools of exegesis. And the truth is, if you look at the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Rambam just told you, both ideas are right. There were traditions like a Mishnah, and the traditions existed. And a lot of the Midrash is to validate the traditions. But the Midrash was not only to validate and to connect traditions to Torah Shebaal Peh like Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac Halevi, but Midrash becomes the way to extract new meaning, to update, to move the Torah forward. So the Rambam, Rabbi Shira Goyen, is only telling you that they learned the Midrash. The Midrash is what Ezra was Mechadish, and that's how they learned at that time. The question is, what does the Midrash do? That's Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. According to the Rambam, the Midrash creates halachas. According to the Ramban, the Midrash uncovers halachas. There is deep meaning. It's like when you go ahead, Havdil, right? And you have any of the computer games and you find a jewel underneath something. That uncovering of the jewel is the Midrash, according to the Ramban. And the Ramban is explaining to you that in Kabbalistic terms, all the droshes are already latent in the Pasuk. That's why the Pasuk has inconsistencies, has extra words. You have the droshes, and Chazal are giving the tools to extract, to mine the jewels from inside. The Rambam holds, they created it. But the Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh was mining or creating new ideas. Yes, the Rambam says, it's absolutely not. The Rambam says, technically, the Torah repeats things. That's Shitas HaRambam, by the way. The Rambam in Shoresh Tes. In other words, they have tools of how to create that. Those are Gimelnidis. But if they don't find a drosha, they don't have the darshan. They could say the posuk is extra. Yesera u'machloik is Rambam and Ramban. According to the Ramban, can Chazal come and say to a posuk, it's extra? Okay, the Torah, it's an extra posuk. Can they say according to the Ramban? No. Why? Because the Ramban, if it's extra, it means that there is something there. You have and you ought to find what it is. There is a jewel inside. That is something called drash, not remez. This is drash. In the world of pshat, remez is to pshat. What drash is the Torah Shebaal Peh, mining Torah Shebaal Peh from Torah Shebichsav. According to the Ramban, every time there is something extra, something inconsistent, the Torah is omni-significant, which means that there is a drasha, and you got to find the drasha. And the way machloikis. The Rambam Shita is? No. Sometimes Chazal will say, Yesera, it's extra. The Pasuk, we don't have a drosha, we don't have a reason to create a drosha, it's fine, it's extra.
What we do derive from the Torah is what the Torah means to convey. It's not creating something that holds
true. According to the Rambam, it's called the Rabbonan. It's called Divrei Sofrim. The Rambam writes in Shor Sefer HaMitzvot, Shor Shein is the Rabbonan. The Torah gave the authority to Chachomim to use the tools to create new halachas. But it's the Rabbanan. It's called Divrei Sofrim. And that's what the Ramban argues. If you want to see, look at the Ramban.
According to the Ramban, when you're mining things, you find out this is, that does it have the title of
halacha l'moshe b'sinai? No, it's not halacha l'moshe b'sinai, but they are deraisa. This is latent in the Pasuk. Look at the Rambam says. The Ramban argues that the Rambam, it says, Pliya midas mimeni nizgav alo uchalau. The Rambam says, I can't hold. Shinema shinamidus nidrosh mikubolas b'sinai, because if it's not b'sinai, if it's not sorsha b'sinai, lo nitzavu nidrosh lifash batara. So then you don't have a mitzvah to darshan. And on that, the Migilas Esther says, Chazal gave, a Torah gave the authority and the tools for Chazal to generate halachas. But it's their choice. In shortest test, the Rambam says, if they don't have a reason to do it, they don't darshan. And they'll say, the pasuk is extra. Yes, Sarah. Yes.
Well, based on what you're saying, that the Ramban said, that would suggest that even up to today, anybody could mine, anybody equipped could mine the aspects, the extra things, the nuances in the Torah, like Rav David Forman as one example, or other people.
The problem is that we are born too late. I remember I was in yeshiva, and I have Rabbi Fol Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, sitting next to me in the mirror. And I always darshan psukim. And he says, Ari, the drosha is great, but you know what the problem is? You're 2,000 years too late. Because the gemar, the end, and the chasima sa mishnah, when the mishnah was sealed, in the year 200 of the common era, give or take, to be precise, the year 220, probably, is the end of the droshas. Because it's the end, Chazal say there were 2,000 years of Tohu, the 2,000 years of Tohu, which are the 2,000 years of chaos, when do they end? By Avraham Avinu, Besa Nefes, Asher Osu Bechoron, and there are 2,000 years of Torah. When do they end? In the year 240 of the Common Era, which is Rebbe and the sealing of the Mishnah, when the Tanoim are finished. The Gemara, when it darshens, it's only like a smachta. They're only trying to find a remez for it. It's not creative droshes. It's not mining new ideas. You could have new concepts. Aloha, that's medrash aloha. Ideas you could, yeah, but ideas are ideas. Okay, they're not mechayev. It could be a nice pshat. It could be very nice. So Rabbi Forman, it's givaldic, but if it would have been born 2,000 years ago, perhaps if he used the tools of Sinai, he could have created a locha, but that's 2,000 years too late.
He's not creating a locha, he's just filling in the gaps.
Filling in the gaps. There is somebody who wrote Mimesis. His name is Auerbach. Auerbach is very interesting. He's one of the great literary critics. The greatest literary critics. And the story with him is very interesting. He was a Jewish guy. And he basically, during the war, had to run away. And he ran away to Turkey, to Istanbul. And he didn't have any books because he didn't read Turkish. So he went to the library and a few books. And he's one of the world's greatest literary critics. So he had to do criticism, literary criticism, in the available books. And he wrote a book called Mimesis, which is probably one of the greatest literary, called Mimesis. M-I-M-E-S-I-S, Mimesis. And he wrote one of the greatest books. And it's truly rare criticism. So one of them he does, one of the chapters of the book is comparing the Akedah of the Bible, how the Torah had, to Homer, to the Odyssey and the Iliad, the style. And it says one of the interesting parts of it is that if you look Homer's work, right, it is very clear how to see the feelings in the emotions. The Torah is gap writing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, Avraham Avinu, go ahead and kill your son. Avraham Avinu says, Hineni, and he goes. The Torah never tells you what was Avraham Avinu feeling. What was the feelings of Yitzchak? There's a lot of gap. So he says the Torah is gap writing. He gives you, but he leaves you a lot of gaps for you to fill it in. Everybody, that is the beauty. The Torah has these incongruences, these openings. This is the Torah that you go and you vest meaning to it in those openings. Halachas to get out of it. So the issue is the following, right? If we remember how we started, and what the three components of Ezra we're going to see. The first component of Ezra was to have the pristine text of the Torah. Sofrim. They counted the letters. They created Ksav Ashuris. They made the Torah ready to be darshaned. And then was the idea of using the tools that they got from Sinai that were given to the Sanhedrin to make it public for everybody to use now these tools to extract ideas from those gaps of the Torah. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the chiddush of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because you could always ask, James Kugel, in his book, which is a very problematic book, from James Kugel, which is a book that I don't recommend anybody to read, okay, because it's a very tough book. But what he says is the following. He says that the rabbinic interpreters had basically the four there are the four basic assumptions, called the four assumptions. The Torah, by the drosh, has the four assumptions. The assumption is that God made the Torah, that's a divine text. The Torah is a perfect text, right? There's no mistakes. The idea is that the Torah is teaching you a lesson. In other words, teaching you a lesson to do it, etc. That's what he says, right? That's the drushes. But he, in my view, misses a fifth one. The fifth part is that we believe that the Torah was given incomplete with these gaps to allow us to use the tools of interpretation to be a partner in Torah. According to the Ramban, is to uncover ideas that they were not given explicitly, they were given implicitly, they were given in potential. According to the Rambam, using these tools to create, adapt Torah, extend Torah. It's like adding branches to a tree. The Tzedukim were very against it. We don't have Tzedukim. We're talking now before Tzedukim. The Tzedukim come the generation afterwards. This is Ezra. We're going to see all the Tzedukim. But you realize that this is actually revolutionary. But it's so revolutionary. That's why Chazal say that Ezra is a second Nesinas HaTorah. And Chazal say, why didn't we have this beforehand? And we had prophecy instead. So Chazal say, because Torah Shebal Peh, the Jews did not accept willingly. We know the Kof Aleihem Har Kigigis, they were forced, right? They were forced to accept Torah. And Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain and put it on top of people and said, if you receive the Torah, fine, otherwise you'll be buried here, right? Tois asked the Kasha, 1 second, they said Nasa Ben Yeshua. So you mean that you have to force them to receive the Torah? Says the Medrash Tanchuma, that's on Torah Shebal Peh versus Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, they accepted it. However, Torah Shebal Peh, they had to be forced to accept. And when did they accept Torah Shebal Peh willingly? In the time of Purim, which is Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla by Mordechai. So that's when they came to Bayis Sheni, they were given the rules and the koach and the power of Torah Shebal Peh that came to replace Torah Shebichsav. Then it came to replace prophecy. So this, if you learn, this is exactly what Ezra was besaken. That's the Medrash. So there were technical halachas. There was always a tradition of Torah Shebal Peh. The tafsir of the Ram says, Aloch Labayishe V'Sinai, and the interpretation of the Torah. He came to attach it to the Torah. That's why he made the translation, Mefoirash. That's what we saw in the Psukim. That's when he says, the beginning of our handouts, what did he do? That he says, Ki Ezra echi levovo lidrosh es Torah Hashem. He gave levovo to darshan Torah Hashem. V'lasu lamad b'Yisrael choyku mishpat, to teach choyku mishpat. And then the pasuk says before, what he comes, that he does, v'sum sechel, he taught them the psukim, he taught them, like we saw last 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, he taught them the targum, the basic idea. So he created the text, and he allowed the tools to darshan and to create new meaning, to update, to let it go forward.
The religion before Ezra, and the religion after Ezra, maybe different.
Clearly, according to the Rambam, the vast majority of mitzvahs are Yud Gimel Midas that came up with the times. Unless they say Guf Torah. Unless Chazal, by default, Yud Gimel Midas, according to the Rambam, is the Rabbanan. Unless Chazal say Guf Torah. Yeah, but Torah mitzvahs, you don't include those mitzvahs. That's why the Rambam Shor Sheni says you cannot include droshes in Torah mitzvahs. Targum mitzvahs, because what the droshes come, they come to extend. It's like a tree, that Miklas Esther says, like a tree, you add branches to the tree. That's it. You take a mitzvah, kiddushin. Mina Torah kiddushin was done kiddushin shtar and kiddushin bia. Chazal extended kiddushin kesef through the drosha. That's the famous one, the Rambam says, is Divrei Sefer.
They can't find any mikvot that existed early and maybe.
It's a very tricky thing. We have to know exactly what it is, but that's the concept. And the things are well known that this will answer a lot of questions. But once you understand this, it's gewaldic. Now, clearly the Sanhedrin Darshan, the Gemara says that the Sanhedrin Darshan, when they have a question and they had to find meaning, but that was the Sanhedrin when they passed an aloha. But to create it, this is how revelation continues. The 2,000 years of Torah have a transition moment, which I told you, this is not only limited to Jewish, to the Jewish tradition, is a reality in every religion. It's called the Axial Age. The Axial Age is that people were not, till a certain point in time, people were looking for a person, for the gods, to give you prophecy, to make you miracles. You go ahead and have a ritual for God to come to you. You wanted God to come to you to give the blessings. And then it comes to a point that we don't want God to come to us. We want to ascend to God. Right? It changed the axis. And this is the time, in the time of Yechezkel. Give or take, time of Yechezkel. With the time of, this is, according to Yoshi Be'er, this was when the Oren, right, the Holy Ark was hidden and was buried. So the tradition of the Ark, the gates of prophecy, were starting to close. They closed there. Transition moment is Ezra. Ezra is the Nun Esin HaSatayra. And you see the gap closes by when? By Shimon HaTzadik, which I told you is the counterpart to Greek philosophy, because Greek philosophy is also getting meaning of the own rational human mind. Yes?
And the Eastern religions, they also adapted at the Axial Age?
Amazingly so, right? You know, the Indian religion. The Indian religion, they had a scripture called the Vedas. Hinduism had the Vedas. At the same time, they go into something called the Upanishads. The Upanishads are the interpretation of the gurus. And the Buddha, with the Pali writings, come with his own interpretations of the Vedas. Interestingly enough, Zoroastrianism in Persia goes through the same. That the Avestas now get something called the Zand, which is the interpretation of the Avestas at the same time. You realize how givaldic it is. It's the whole world is changing at the same time.
But they also wanted to invest something tangible with the divine, whatever qualities.
Lahavdil, yes. They go. It's all, the Buddha is that, right? The, no. No, it's not, because if you know the Upanishads reinterpret that, and they say that what you see, the, all the idolatries that you see there, right, all the pagans and all the idols and all the millions of gods, is really an expression of one god. That's what Upanishads say. They're the expression of the Brahman. The Brahman is this one that expresses itself. So humans see this. Because when they come to you, they have to relate, God relates, Lahavdil, to people differently. So they all look like they're multiple gods. But in essence, it's only one God expressing itself in various ways, like a octopus.
So one would say that the Eastern religions are more elevated than Christianity.
They're totally different. Christianity is much later. We are now in the earlier stage. This is the earlier stage. We realize that Christianity, we're going to study and learn about Christianity. Christianity came exactly to rebel against this. Because this is going to, you'll see that the beginning of the Tzedukim, those are the people who say, no, prophecy is still open. You realize that Christianity doesn't come to argue with Yiddishkeit. It comes to argue with this type of Yiddishkeit, which is called Rabbinical Judaism. This is way before Rabbinical Judaism. This is the idea that Torah Shebichsav tells you the prophecy closes, and now it's a new era. Which is unbelievable. And Chazal is saying that this is the koyach of the Torah Shebaal Peh. This is a, but you'll see how this evolved, because I want to show you how the Midrash evolved. One of the things we're going to learn, that the Torah, I just told you before, right, they do 10 generations. This is the beginning, and with Shimon HaTzadik, it becomes, we're going to see how Shimon HaTzadik becomes the beginning of this generation, but this is the transition of Ezra. But this transition of Ezra, there are 10 steps. We're going to see how the Midrash evolved. And that's why I want to teach you today how Midrash evolved. Because Midrash is this idea that you could draw meaning from Torah. That Kodesh Baruch Hu says the Sefer Torah that you have here. And Ezra got the Ksav. This was done, the opening of the gates of interpretation is done by Ezra. How did Ezra do that? The Pasuk says, I just told you. He gave his drash to teach Klal Yisrael laws, right, of Chukim Mishpatim. And And this Chazal say he did, but parshegen anishtevanan, by having the ksav, the writing of the Sefer Torah, change. He did that by changing the ksav. Now, how is that? So that you could say, because when you change the ksav, now you're opening the gates of interpretation, because now the letters, not only the words have meaning, even the letters have meaning. The crowns have meaning. So it's the gates of interpretation. It's like the letters transcend to above. The crowns tells you that you could take from the letters alone and go beyond.
And the actual Sefer Torah, the way it's written with gaps and everything, is the original Sefer Torah that's Moshe B'Sinai with the gaps in between.
We are now following Shita Sarambam, which means, yes, Atoira Zolot Ishtane, the idea of the Psucha and the Kstuma and the Kri and the Ksiv is all the original Sefer Torah that Ezra brought, which was the Sefer Torah as it was in the Or HaKodesh that was hidden by Yoshio.
But that would suggest that it's open for darshaning, all those gaps.
Yes, so everything is up for darsh. Now, but clearly, the Torah that Ezra gives us is the Torah that could be darshaned. And that's why this is a new Nesina Satoira. And made the Torah to be now for next for the next 1,000 years, you're going to see how the Midrash evolved. And what I want to do with you to see the earliest Midrash, you realize that the Midrash was put into collections, the Midrash Halacha. What are the collections? I told you in Parsha, in Sefer Shmois, it's called the Mechilta. In Sefer Vayikra, it's called the Sifro, Sifro de Berav, and the in Bamidbar and Dvorim is together. We're going to see why, but they're together. It's called the Sifrei. But these collections are much later, right? You know that there's collections, Rav David Tzvi Hafman in Mishnah Rishona, postulated that these collections come from different Bati Midrashim. The Mechilta comes from Rabbi Shmuel's Medrash, Rabbi Shmuel. The Sifro comes from Rabbi Kiva. And the Sifrei is a mix between the two. We're going to soon see that. I have a friend who, Moish Kapel, is a great linguistic statistician, one probably the greatest in the world, and he did actually feed into the computer all the Rabbi Shmuel's and Rabbi Kiva's. And the computer, when he goes ahead and he tries to ascribe, Moshe Kapel is the great guy who's able to ascribe authorship through the computer, through language statistics. And it comes out that Sifro is Rabbi Kiva, Mechilta is Rabbi Shmuel, and Sifrei is inconclusive. That's what he says. And Rabbi Tzvi Hoffman, Rabbi David Tzvi Hoffman. And by the way, Rabbi David Tzvi Hoffman was so validated in this time because they found the Mechilta of Rabbi Shmuel. Of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, they found the Mechilta of Rabbi Kiva's school. That's what it was. But that's a much later collection. Now, how do we know how the Midrash evolved? Because that Midrash is at the end of the Midrash, right? That's Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. And right after this Rabbi is the end. How did the Midrash evolve? Halivni, always, Professor Halivni says something which is amazing. I'll tell you, I always use the Jurassic Park, Lahavdil, the Jurassic Park theory. What's the Jurassic Park theory? That they found a insect, a DNA that was frozen in time, so they were able to get it. We do have an early Midrash, which happens to be that was frozen in time. And we have the vestiges of the early Midrash, which is called in Chazal the simple Midrash. Can anybody tell me where are the relics, where is the fossils of the early Midrash? I told you, because the Midrash that we have the collections are much later. They were edited, they are all Midrash. It's much, much later.
Is that the Midrash of Gadol?
No. It's the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Because the Halacha Shel Pesach, there was a halacha that you have to darshan the psuki from Arami or Ivedovi at Shegumir Skola Parsha. We spoke so many times, but there is a Chi of Drosha. The Mishnah already quotes. There's a Chi of Drosha. So those Droshas were said by the Jewish people throughout. So those droshas are the early droshas because they were kept. People kept the same there. You couldn't change it. So you have the droshas and you see how the early droshas came about. They are called the simple medrash. For yet, the one who does an amazing analysis is Rav Yoshe Be'er in the Harei Kedem. And you have this little one of the pages that I gave you. It's not, it's the one in Ksav Rashi. And look at what he says. If you look at the Haggadah, there is a very big distinction. Sometimes he says like this, the Midrash. He says, Melamed comes to teach you. Vayogor sham. It says that Yaakov Avinu came to live there. Melamed, to teach you, shelo reyad Yaakov Avinu nishtakeh b'Mitzrayim, that Yaakov Avinu did not go to live in Mitzrayim, ela lagur sham, only to be a stranger. That's why he uses the lashon lagur. Af shu b'vi achakach pasuk al kach, and then he brings the pasuk, shenema, like the pasuk says, v'yomru el paro lagur ba'aretz banu, v'chen v'yisham melamed she'yisrol b'tzionim sham. So here is, he uses the lashon melamed, okay? V'lifamim balagod oimer, but so that the Balagoda says, Kumo Ishenemar, like it says. Kumo bimiseimat, it says the apostle, they came in a small number. Kumo Ishenemar, like it says, Bishivim Nefesh. So sometimes the Midrash says, Melame to teach you, X, Y, and Z. Or sometimes it says, bimiseimat, few people, like it says in that pasuk. What's the difference? Vinira Levi, says the Yoshimir, the Melamed Hainu. The idea of melamed is shemuchach mitoicho shel aposuk, is a drosha that comes to interpret the posuk itself. Et einyan alimad. Komo vayogor sham, like the posuk vayogor sham. Vayogor sham means vayogor is to live there, but it doesn't say vayishev, it says vayogor, loshen gir. Melamed shelo yad, to teach you, the posuk itself teaches you. Shelo yad Yaakov Avinu shtakev Yisrael melal gur sham, that he came not to stay there forever, but just to be a stranger. That's a mamila vayogor, because the word itself, melamed umuchach metoichoi. The word itself, if you analyze the word better, if you pay attention, if you are very careful about the word is teaching you, shekavonoso shel Yaakov lo yisrael shtakev Yisrael, tells you what the intention of Yaakov Avinu. It was not to live there, but just to stay there. Vechen vayisham legoi. The pasuk says they were there into a nation. Melamed, to teach you. Shayu Yisrael b'tzuyim sham, the Klal Yisrael was unique there. The etzim zeh she'alem shem umah, because the mere fact that it says they were a nation, melamed comes to teach you, she'ya b'hem kol ha'samon, m'shilu ha'musim et l'atzva, that they were unique, they were distinguished as a separate nation. Shloshim u'shmam levushim sham, they didn't change. But here the Midrash tells you that if you pay attention to the psukim, there is a underlying intention of the psukim. That's one style of Medrash. Ulam, kishomer ba lagadah kmo shenemar, but when the pasuk, the Agadah says, you say the pasuk here, like it says somewhere else, hainu sheina kmo shenemar mefurash b'guf pasuk, because it's telling you that sometimes the pasuk itself, you cannot understand it, and then you, unless you do something called an intertextual analysis, you take it somewhere else. Ela aderabat, sorech posuk acher, you need a separate posuk, shegaleta pirush b'teva mura perasha me'ev revie, that you need an interpretation from somewhere else. Sometimes there is muchach mitoch, some of the interpretation is right here, you just have to pay attention. Sometimes the interpretation is somewhere else. B'mchinas ba'zev elimet azev, the one keeps to teach the other. Kmo be'anal, b'mseimeat, it says that the Jews came to be trying b'mseimeat in a small number. In the pasuk, in the midrash says, "Kmo shenema," like it says somewhere else, "B'shivim nefesh yod v'sim b'samid." They came in 17. The apostle should call them b'sim b'ad, because the pasuk says there are few people they came to Mitzrayim. Eino megale kama yordim l'Mitzrayim. Doesn't tell you how many people are there. V'shayu shivim nefesh, there are 70 people. Aval baz the apostle she'shivim nefesh. The other apostle comes v'limed. He comes to teach you and interpret. So in other words, the divrei Torah, the Torah cannot read that pasuk individually. You have to intertextually connect another pasuk. ולימד מסוים מאה פעם שבעים נפש, וכי מה שהוא אומר בלגודה, ויענונו, כמו שנאמר, says made a suffer. How did he made a suffer? Like the pasuk says somewhere else, וישים all of sudden מיסר, מה נויס מסיף לא יסם, he put guards to make them suffer. היינו כי פסוק ויענונו לא מפורש ביינו, because the pasuk says he came to suffer. Doesn't say what was the suffering? אז שלא מדי מהפוסק השני, and you learn from another pasuk, שלמען הנויס מסיף לא יסם, שהיה עינו לשם עינוי, that they made them suffer just for the sake of suffering, ולא לשם שוט, אז אחד אף any specific need. Ela kipshut leman anoyis besivlois to make them suffer. Says the early medrash is the simple medrash. You know what the medrash does? It tells you that you have to draw meaning. Pay attention to the words and see what word is being used to draw meaning, or connect the psukim intertextually. Because if you connect the psukim, if you connect the dots, you could get meaning out of it. So this is called the simple medrash. you see that the Medrash evolved and evolved and evolved, applying the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas by him to something called the Complex Medrash. And also see that the Chidush, the father of the great Complex Medrash, who is it? Is Hillel HaZaken in much later generations. We're going to see how this evolved. But this is the simple Medrash. The simple Medrash teaches you that you have to pay attention. It's like, it's two lines. There's a vertical line that you have to go deep to understand what the Pasuk means, and you have to horizontally connect the Pasukim to get one Pasuk to bring meaning to the other Pasukim. This is the simple Medrash. And this is what Ezra was misaken to draw meaning and to take Torah forward. That this becomes the gates of ascension of a Jew drawing meaning, letting the Torah kebiyochol matan Torah to continue on an ongoing basis. And this is Ezra. And this is the simple Medrash. The simple Medrash starts from where? From the Agoda. The Agoda is the one that we have an intact early Medrash. Lehavdil, this is the Jurassic Park, because this was kept. Why? Because people did it, so you couldn't change it. The Agoda has been kept. People heard the drash from the fact, so the basic midrash still stayed. So this is the early Medrash. And this, now the Rambam and the Rabban, now have a machlokes. So clearly, Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac Halevi is right. There were interpretations, there were traditions, and they went to uncover those traditions in the Chumash. That's an uncovering the traditions. But then there were new ideas coming that came up. The Rambam says they are the vast majority of the halachas that we know today. They came up with using something called the Complex Medrash. The question is, what did they do? Did they create or did they uncover? Machloek is Rambam and Rambam. Okay, so this is the how this is the work of Ezra Sofer. And that's the second part what he taught us. Amidu Talmidim Harbe. That's why his message was have many students. Because now the more students you have, the more debate you have, the more creativity you have. That's called Bina. Dovar mitoch dovar, to extract something from something else. This is the second thing of Ezra.
So the actual practice of Judaism changed after Ezra.
That's absolutely. And you're going to see he did one more thing that he did. Now, if that is the case, we have to take action into our own hands. Which means, at the beginning of the third part of Torah Shebaal Peh. What's the third part? The takonas and the gzeres. The decrees and the gzeres. And that's what Ezra established. You soon see that Ezra, what he did, was asu siag la Torah. That now, once upon a time, if you did something wrong, God came to tell you. But now, on Torah Shebaal Peh, if you don't find, if you don't create limits, if you don't create boundaries, you're done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to send you a Navi to tell you, guys, you're doing something wrong. Guys, you need to. So now, to take the Torah and to make sure that you're protecting the Torah, it's based on us. And that's the third aspect of the Shebaal Peh, which is the Takonas and Gzeres, that Ezra was the one who's Mesaken. And you soon see, before we just go, let's look at the Mishnah in your handout. In the page, it's page 5. Talmud Bavri, Mesech Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Tanu Rabban Bishonei Yom Shloisha Keil Minitolim B'Shabbos. In the beginning, there were only three instruments that you could carry on Shabbos, big social dvela, some kind of a knife to cut figs, listen shaltera, vechulei. Then chozru veitiru, then they allowed you to carry more things because it was the idea of mukze. All the ideas here is the Gemara that talks about the development of mukze. Says the Gemara, so the Gemara says, in 1 second, the Gemara will say that this last line, Omar Rab Chanina b'mei Nechemya ben Hachalai, the times of Ezra, Nechemya, Nishnish Mishnazu. This Mishnah of the Isur of Mukze is the gzera of Ezra. Because the Nehemiah says, I saw people working on Shabbos. They would go ahead and have the wine pressers on Shabbos. And therefore he says, you can't even touch it. So this is the beginning of something called gzeras. Says Reb Tzodek, he was the first one to really create this idea of fences and protection. He was the beginning of this. He did two things, that you couldn't touch things, mukze, umatn b'shabbes, you could not do business on Shabbos. V'chen achar of kol chaverav, and this became an institution of anshei knesset ha'gdol, and ba'alei takon zas yogim b'Yisrael. V'yaziru b'vei b'firush l'shat dvarim she'omru. That's the third component to what they did, what was siyag la'toira. U'mosiv aleihem nechem yasiyah siyag l'tzorech shov, she'nro l'iskam lo'olam. He said, you have to go ahead and create a takona, even though it would not be forever, just for the generation. They were very stringent in the beginning because they were afraid people working on Shabbos. As people got used to Shabbos, they became more and more lenient. He decided to take initiative. This is the beginning of, this is the time when humans took upon themselves that we have to initiative. We have to continue drawing meaning from Torah. We have to create a text. And we have to go ahead and to do something to allow the Torah to be livable and to protect the Torah. That's why he created the new Kabbalah Satorah, that they accepted it. The Pasuk in Nehemiah says there was a new Kabbalah Satorah by Ezra. We base a voice of Linda. He learned this from his fathers, from his forefathers. Kmo shomar David HaMelech, nishbati vakayema. David HaMelech says, I have something to swear myself to keep Torah. That you have something to encourage yourself to keep the mitzvahs. And this comes from Boaz. That he also was nishba liyisroi. This is Ezra. So Kabbalah Satorah Shebal Peh, the chidush of Torah Shebal Peh is once Nevuah is closed, you have to be able to draw new meaning, to create, to move the Kabbalah Satorah forward, and to protect the Torah. So what he does is something which is Chazal mentioned to you. Those are the first three steps of Torah Shebal Peh. Number one, the text. Number two, the ability to extract from the text. Number three, to protect the text. And this is Ezra. And continues Reb Tzodek, and Reb Tzodek says, "The aliday neshe balidei Esther. This all came from Esther. Chozu lekabel haTorah me'ahava. This was the beginning of the acceptance of Torah shebal peh be'ahava. Shezeu etzachayim dein etzachayim el haTorah kmo shomer beishtan beliyo. Ve'azay mitchelas agolu isgalus Torah shebal peh. This is the beginning of Torah shebal peh because they accepted it." Because that's why they told you have many talmidim to draw meaning. They could only do that once they accepted Torah Shebal Peh. Okay. Now he says, "Vezeu yisoy Torah Shebal Peh shutchal kvale de David uShloimoi." Torah Shebal Peh started in the time of David and Shloimoi. The Malchus Peh Torah Shebal Peh. Aval kozman shaitan nevua beYisrael. But whenever there was prophecy. Until now, so when a guy went to yeshiva, what did he want to be? He wanted to be a Navi. He went to something called the Bnei Nevim, to a school of prophecy. The people went into meditative practices and they became prophets. V'nikru Bnei Nevim. So the people, they were Torah Shebal Peh, but we were not mekabel Torah Shebal Peh, so our avodah was not Torah Shebal Peh. We didn't send kids to yeshiva, we sent kids to schools of Nevi'im, called Bnei Nevi'im. Umean sheknes ha'gdol v'itchilu kol yisrael l'shtar l'asig madrigas ha'chokh v'Torah Shebal Peh. Now is a new beginning. That now for you to connect is not receiving prophecy, but using your wisdom, your reish, your thinking properties to draw meaning. V'nikru talmide chachomim. So from Nevi'im, they become talmide chachomim. V'zeu ha'shlom ha'koyach ha'malchus. And this is the shlom of koyach ha'malchus, is Torah Shebal Peh. V'chil achar v'chiyas ha'molek d'mei ha'oman. And for this, you had to be moiche ha'oman. Shogoyim ripu yadaim. Haman is the opposite of Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Because Amalek is the one, Amal Koif. He's like a monkey. He is the one who says, you know something, don't go deep. Look at things at face value. That's why the Malach of Esav, when Yaakov asked him, what's your name? He says, Lama Zetikra Lishmi. Chazal say that Lama Zetikra Lishmi, Rav Shapiro always mentioned. It's not that he avoided giving his name, but that's his name. In the name of Malach of Esav, he's don't ask him any questions, don't ask my name. Take things at face value. Esav looks, he's compared, the Pasuk says, Charsimena Chazim Yad is doing it to a pig, to a swine. Why that outside the surface or the superficial looks kosher? If you dig inside, you realize it's not kosher because the semen, he has the semen, the pig has the semen kashas outside, doesn't have a semen kashas inside. That's why only after the victory against Amalek we could be zoche to Torah Shebal Peh. And this is the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. We're going to soon see that the derivative of it is that two things came out of Bavel. And the truth is, Torah Tzadok brings two things from the Yerushalmi, and there is a third thing. What did we get? The name of the angels come from the... All the angelology comes from the Bavel. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. We also know that the names of the month and the calendar is also Babylonian. And the question is why? Why the names of the names of the angels come from Babylonia? What does he have to do? Sivrat Hashem, when we meet in 2 weeks... We're going to talk about what, how this Torah Shebal Peh, this whole idea that now the world changed completely. That not the God comes to us in prophecy, meditative techniques, but rational thinking techniques. This is the way how to draw meaning. Automatically, that led to the creation of the names of angels and to the change in the calendar. And then the names now are not called by numbers. They get the names, which is the calendar and all the system that we got from Bavel.
That's
what he mentioned. Avodah the Zorah. It's exactly right. It's the parallel. And what is the counterpart? As we mentioned a few weeks ago, the counterpart of this system of Nevuah, what was paganism, was Avodah the Zorah. What is the counterpart or the challenging movement against Torah Shebal Peh is Greek philosophy. That's why this Torah Shebal Peh comes to a culture conf against the Seleucid Greeks. And that's the idea of Hanukkah.
And yet the Rambam gets so much of his background.
We are going to see. By the way, the Rambam says that, interestingly enough, okay, and I'm going to mention in 2 weeks, the calendar, the computation of the calendar, for us to understand the Ikar, the calendar as it was by the visual calendar, the astronomy, so the Rambam says we lost astronomy, and he relies on Greek. He relies on the Greeks. He relies on Ptolemy, right? On the Almagest. Himself says we lost it. Our artificial, mechanical, Balpi Cheshbon, is a Babylonian calendar. And I'm going to tell you afterwards. Why Babylonian? In other words, the Cheshbon, the one that we do, which is the mathematical, the computed calendar, is a Babylonian system. The visual system of how we see the moon and how, meaning the 80 went, the Rambam says we lost it, is Greek. And we're going to see why that changes. But this is the counterculture.